Merry Christmas. Good time with us. That you stand with us as we open our service this morning with Good Christian Men Rejoice. Please stand with us as we open our service today.
Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. Man and beast before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He has opened heaven's door, and man is blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting hall. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save.
Again, welcome to our service this morning. Turn and greet each other as our pastor comes this morning. Good to see everyone today.
Well, it is good to see you this morning. I'm glad you came today to be with us in our time of worship. And appreciate you being here today. Appreciate those watching by Facebook and YouTube and those who listen by radio. So we want you to worship the Lord today, and we need to rejoice in the message of Christmas that he's given to us. I'll continue today and from Luke chapter 2, talking about the purpose of Christmas. So we'll continue that in a little bit here. May we pray together. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the purpose of Christmas and the message of Christmas and what it means to us. I pray today that as we have gathered here today, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for your love and grace that you've given to us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. There's still a few announcements there in your bulletin. Just remember there'll be no Wednesday night service this Wednesday. No Sunday school next Sunday. Just a worship service at 11. And also the notes in there about online giving. The instructions and everything that you need to know about is in there. If you have any questions, you can see myself, Chad, or Brandon. We'll try to help you out with that. We ask that you continue helping us this morning with two more Christmas songs, We Three Kings and What Child Is This? You join in with us this morning.
We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king of Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, earth to heaven replies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright. Westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. What child is this who lays to rest on Mary's lap this sleeping, who angels greet with anthem sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him all, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, compares a king to own him, the King of Kings, salvation bring. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him all, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Thank you for joining with us on the hymns. We ask that you join with us as we sing two more Christmas songs, Angels We Have Heard on High, and then Adore. If you could stand with us on the first one, please, then we'll let you sit on the second one. Angels We Have Heard on High.
Angels We Have Heard on High, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Say, what may the tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Joseph, lend your aid, with us sing, I say.
sure many of you know this song, Adore. We've sang it before. The choir sang it as a cantata, so you join in with us if you know it. As we sing about that fateful night of Christmas, God, we thank you that we can still come to the manger. We can still adore you, the greatest gift ever given. We thank you, Lord, for your sending your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask as we go through the rest of this service that you would help us to focus on you. I pray that our hearts would be turned to you. receive the message as you give it today, and I pray that it would make a difference in our life. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. We find in Luke chapter 2, I'm sure many of you read that yesterday during Christmas at some point. It's still the greatest story ever told. So that's what I'm going to sing this morning, the greatest story ever told.
A woman and an angel, a promise and a song, a word too grand for any mind to hold. A tax law and a journey, a stable and some straw, these tell the greatest story ever told. Sing glory in the highest. He has come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds. And it's still the greatest story ever told. A hillside and some shepherds, a blaze of blinding light, angels singing carols in the cold. Eternal revelation to men as dull as stone, the glorious greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds. And it's still the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He has come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told, and it's still the greatest story ever told.
Thank you, Jeff and worship team, for the music this morning and congregation. Thank you for your participation. Luke 2, verse 11, is where I want to continue today. We talked about this last week, but I want to continue with it today. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Regardless of your problems or circumstance, Christmas really is the best news that you could hear. The story of Christmas gives us a better life here when we embrace the simple truths of the Christmas story, but also gives us an eternal life in heaven with the Lord forever. And that is the purpose of Christmas. When the angel announced the birth of Jesus on that first Christmas, the announcement was this, that salvation has come. That the purpose of Christmas is that it is a time for salvation. So we'll talk about that purpose today. God has a Christmas gift for you. There are two really unique qualities, probably more than two, but there are two unique qualities of this gift that He's given us. First of all, this is the most expensive gift that you could ever receive. Jesus Christ gave His life that we might live and have forgiveness of sin. Another quality of this gift is that it will last forever. Some of the Christmas gifts that we received this year, they're not going to last forever, okay? We appreciate them. We can use them, enjoy those, but, you know, they just won't last forever. But the gift of Jesus Christ is an eternal gift. It is a gift that will last forever. You know, there's no accident that you are here today. And God has created you. He's created you for a purpose. And the purpose that He's created you for and me for is to know His Son. Last week we talked about how that the purpose of Christmas was that it was a message of salvation that would save us from something. And so today what I want to talk about is how it's not only that, but the message of Christmas, the story of Christmas, is that a Savior has been born to save us for something. So Jesus not only saves us from a bad thing, which is sin, and the consequences and penalty of sin, but He also came to save us to something. So He has a purpose for us. This Savior who is born is Christ the Lord. And this Savior is for you. It's for all people. So it's a very, very personal message here that we see. So Jesus came to save us for a purpose. They tell us, all the psychologists and people tell us, that counselors and theologians tell us, that we all struggle with three basic questions. The first question is one of existence. The second is the one of significance. And the third question is the one of intention. Existence is, why am I alive? Significance, does my life really matter? And intention is, what is my purpose in life? So God has never created anything without a purpose. He created you for a purpose. He created me for a purpose. And since we're alive today, then we can be sure of this very thing, that God has a purpose for each and every one of us here today. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:4 that long before God laid the foundation for this world, that He had us in mind. That He settled on us, His focus was on us, and His love was for us. But see, here's the problem. The Bible also tells us that we all have wandered away from that purpose, that we have strayed away from God's purpose for our lives. In Isaiah 53:6, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've wandered away. We've gotten lost. We've gone in a different direction. We've done our own thing. We've gone our own way. But what the Father did, what God did, was to lay on Jesus our sins, everything we've ever done wrong. But that's the problem. And so although He created us for a purpose, then what happens in life is, a lot of times what we do is take those detours from God's purpose for our life. And the reason we do that a lot of times is because we think we've got a better plan, we've got a better idea, and we want to do our thing rather than what God wants us to do. So what God did was to send a Savior. And just like the scripture says, where there's born to you this day in the seed of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. He sent Jesus to be our Savior, to redeem us from sin, to reset the direction of our life, to restore us to his original purpose that he's given us in life. You see, he does not save us, not only saves us from something, but he saves us to something. He saves us for something, and that is purpose for our lives. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, Paul said it this way, that he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So when we live for his purpose, we live for the Lord, and the greatest thing on earth is to know that purpose and to be living out his purpose in our life. One of the scriptures I like in the Bible is speaking about the life of David. And really what this verse is, it's a New Testament commentary on the life of David in the Old Testament. But in Acts 13:36, it says this, "For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried, and buried with his fathers, and saw no corruption." So what that verse is telling us is that David served God's purpose for his life. One of the commentators that I read on this, he commented on that verse this way. He said, "Use your life to do which is timeless and eternal." That's God's purpose. So the time we have on earth, let's use it for his purpose. In a timely and contemporary way, that would be in your generation, in the time that you're living, live out that purpose. You serve that which never changes. That is, God's word never changes. In a settled and consistent changing world, what is changing is the world. So that's what it means to live a purpose-driven life. And to say that he served the Lord in his generation, he served the will of God in his generation, really is the ultimate definition of what it means to live a life of purpose. That's what we're after here. So my prayer for you would be that this could be said of you and that it could be said of me, that what was said of David, that we lived out God's purpose, God's will for our lives, could be said for all of us. That should be our goal. The Bible says in Romans 6:13, "Give yourself completely to God, every part of you, for you are back from the dead." That's what happened. We were dead, and as the Bible says, spiritually, God gave us life, spiritual life. And Paul goes on to say there, because we want to be tools in the hands of God, used for his purpose. And so let God use you. Use your talent, your gift, your ability. That is what you do in fulfilling God's purpose for your life. I'm so grateful here for the faithfulness of you and the way that you use your gifts and talents to do what we do here, you know, through the week and Sunday after Sunday and on Wednesday night. You're using your gift for God's purpose, and we appreciate that. I appreciate your faithfulness. It is the deepest longing, I think, of anyone's heart to really experience the purpose of God and to do it. I mean, there's just something about that. That's why we're created. A few years ago, Rick Warren published his book that really is famous now, but The Purpose-Driven Life, and I wanted to go back to that to pull this out of that book. But what he explained there in his book is that he said, living a life of purpose, we all pretty much live on three levels. He said one is survival, the second is success, and the third is significance. And really, survival is where most people in the world live. Jacob's here today. He's been in those third world countries, and he's experienced that. And He knows what that is, and you know, people are just surviving. I mean, it's all they can do to make it, you know, through one day. And that's where most of the world lives. If you are in the United States, then you're living a very successful life. You need to understand that. But the significance comes in when we live that life that God has created us to live. To live a life of purpose where we're making a difference in the world for His glory and for His honor. In Mark 8:35, Jesus said it this way. He said, "For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." So what Jesus is saying to us is that, you know, we don't find significance in possessions or pleasure or position. It doesn't come there, but it comes in a life of service. It comes in giving your life away to a cause that is greater than yourself, to give your life to Christ and His purpose and His will for your life. So all the success in the world, you know, can't really satisfy that deepest longing that we have until we come to this place, because we know this, that we were made to know God, to love God, to serve God, and we were made to trust God. And that's purpose, and that's what He wants us to do. So let me ask you this question. Are you doing that? Is your soul satisfied with God? Is that deepest longing in your heart satisfied? Or is it still empty? You see, that emptiness cannot be filled with the things of this world. It can only be filled by God. It can only be filled by Jesus Christ in relationship with Him. So that's why we are to accept Him as our Savior. So we get our sins, our past sins forgiven, the purpose for living, and a home in heaven. So He saved us not only from something, and a lot of that, you know, that's kind of the negative part of it, but the positive side of our salvation, the positive side that we have a Savior is that this Savior has saved us for a purpose. Now, there's a third truth here I want to share with you. He not only saved us from sin and ourselves, He not only saved us for a purpose, but He saves us by something. And this Savior who came to give us this salvation that we all need. Here's what the Bible has to say about what you must do to be saved. In John 6:28-29, the Scripture says, "The people asked Jesus, 'What are the things God wants us to do?'" So they're thinking about that. They had questions about it. Jesus came to, you know, show us God. He was teaching about God. So their question is, well, what does He want us to do? So Jesus answered, "The work that God wants you to do is this. Believe the one who sent Him." So it's not a matter of trying. But what salvation is a matter of trusting. He saves us by something. He saves us by His Son, by the Savior that was sent into the world. You know, salvation, the Bible talks about salvation as being a gift, and it is. And that's why we talk about this gift at Christmas, you know, this greatest gift. It's a gift of God's grace to us. Salvation is not proving that we deserve the gift. What salvation and grace is coming to that point of believing in Him and trusting in Him and knowing that it is a gift of grace, because it's a gift we don't deserve. And it's not a gift that we can work for, not a gift that we can earn. Someone has said it this way, that God's love for us is unlimited, unconditional, unchanging, and undeserved. You see, grace is when God came down to us. Grace is Jesus Christ coming to this earth, being born in the manger, and that changes everything. I mean, that changes everything. of him coming into the world, but that's how he came. So everything in life that we have, that we enjoy, everything in life that we have is a gift of God's grace. It really is. What we needed, though, was the greatest gift. That was salvation. So what we understand is that everything that needed to be done for our salvation was done over 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. And that is the gift that we need to receive. But it's by that gift that's given that we can have the salvation that we need. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, Paul's speaking of grace there. And what he's telling us here is that Christ has already done everything we need to be saved. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it tells us there that it is by grace and that it is through faith. That is this gift. So he came to save us from sin in ourselves. He came to save us for a purpose, but he came to save us by something. And the scripture says here in Ephesians that it's by grace through faith. So what is grace? Well, grace is God's love in action. That's what grace is. Grace is when God freely gives you what you need, even though you don't deserve it, and even though we could never repay him for it, that is God's grace gift to us. Grace solves the greatest problem that you and I will ever face in life, and that is the sin problem. Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's standard. That's why we all need forgiveness. That's why we all need this gift. That's why this gift is the Savior that has been born to you. It is a personal gift, as the angel announced on that first Christmas, that this is a personal gift to you. So the Bible tells us that he paid our sin debt on the cross. Paul was talking about that in Colossians 2:14. Paul said it this way. He said that Jesus, that he canceled the debt. That he took away our sin and the rules and all the stuff that goes with that. And he nailed it to the cross. So that's where the sin debt was paid for. Christmas would have no meaning apart from the death of Christ on the cross and his resurrection. Christmas really would be just another holiday, another day, if you take that meaning from it. But the meaning of Christmas is Emmanuel, God with us. It is that a Savior has been born to you, to all people. That is the purpose of Christmas. This Savior who came, he didn't remain a babe. He lived. He died on the cross. He rose again. And he's seated in heaven today. So that is the story of Christmas. And that's the purpose of Christmas. 1 John 2:2. The Bible tells us that his atoning sacrifice was for our sins. And not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. And that is a grace. And so his death on the cross proved his love for us. John said it this way in 1 John 4:10. He said, this is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us and he sent his son as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. You know, the world today is filled with a lot of frustrated people. They have an emptiness. They have a hole that they're trying to fill with everything but Jesus. And that's why this Savior came. He came to save that. He came to give us meaning. He came to give us purpose. He came to give us a reason for living. He came to give us a relationship with God. And so that's why salvation is really needed. And that's why Jesus is needed, because we were made for God and we were made for his purpose. Until a person really understands that you were made for God, and that you were made for a purpose, and that you were made for a relationship with Him, life really will not make sense until you come to that understanding of life. So the great Christmas gift was the gift of His Son. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul said it this way. He said, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift, for His indescribable gift, the gift that cannot be explained." So the answer really is a purpose. A purpose, and that purpose is found in Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter, Peter said it this way. He said, "For as you get to know Him better, He will give you through His great power everything you need for living a truly good life. And He shares His glory with you." So that's it. I mean, just getting to know Him and having that relationship with Him. So God wants you to trust Him. It's by grace, but the Bible also says it's through faith. It's through faith. It's believing in Him. When we do that, the Bible says, when we put our faith in Him, our trust in Him, the Bible says that we have a right standing with God, that we have a right relationship with God. So He wants us to trust Him. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He does exist and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him." So you can't be saved by trying. The only way you can be saved is by trusting. It's not what we do, but it's what He has done for us. And so what we do is put our faith and we put our trust in Him. That's really our part, to believe what He has done for us. Now, I want you to consider this as I bring this to a close. If you could save yourself or I could save myself, why did Jesus come? If we could do it on our own, what's the purpose of Christmas? Why do we talk about this Christmas story if we could do it on our own? Well, we couldn't do it on our own. And that's why Jesus came. He came to die on the cross for our sins, to be our Savior. As the Bible says, "This day in the city of David is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." I don't have any idea today what your anxiety or problems or struggles or whatever it may be. But I know this, that Jesus knows and Jesus cares. And I know that He wants to help you. I know that. John 14:1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said, "You believe in God, believe also in Me." So He wants to make that difference in your life. As we close today, just let me say this, that God wants to save people. If you're not saved, He wants to save you. That's why He came into the world, to save us from our sin, to give us a purpose, to save us by grace, through faith. That's why He came. See, a lot of people, where they've got to come to, though, they've got to quit trying to save themselves, because you can't do it. It's not good works, it's not religion, it's not all that. It's through the Savior who came. When Jesus was on the cross, He had people who mocked Him. He had people who ridiculed Him. And Matthew tells us in Matthew 27:40, that they cried out and said, "If you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross." He didn't come down from the cross. The babe that was born in the manger was born for that purpose. That's why He did not come down. He was born to die in order that we may live. And that's why He came. So he can save you if you put your trust and faith in him. But I'll tell you this, he's not going to knock down the door of your heart. If he's knocking at your heart's door, what you've got to do is just open that door, accept him, and receive him. Today has been born to you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let's stand for our prayer in time of invitation. Father, we thank you for this message of Christmas. And we thank you that Christmas really is a time of salvation. The Savior came to save us from sin and from ourselves. The Savior came to save us for a purpose. The Savior came to save us by something, by grace and through faith. I pray today that you'd bring those today to you who needs to come. And I pray that you would help them to open their heart door to the gospel, to the message of Christmas, to open their heart to the Savior who came, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am without.
It's good to see you today again, and I'm glad you're here. Go this week and just celebrate the message of Christmas and the person of Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the reason for the celebration. But really, Christmas is a time of salvation, and it's a message we need to share. So God bless you, and go this week in his grace. The worship team will come now with our song of benediction.
Thank you, Pastor. It's a kind of a toe tapper, so go tell it on the mountain. You join in with us.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. In a lowly manger the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born.
Thank you. You're dismissed.